American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, April 2nd, 2007. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. Just by listening to this program and distributing this program, you are as well. And you can follow up with all of these news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio Tampa, Jeeper One Radio, and Risk Radio, where it's risky all the time. So thank you very much for tuning in. I got another great, fantastic, wonderful, and stupendous show for you this week. And I'm down one link, which is unfortunate. I got a story, which if you go to my live journal, you'll find there's a dead link there. I'm sure someone has probably, by the time you've read this, they probably already corrected it, and it could be in my comments. But yeah, there's a dead link I had related to a story, but the story was too good. I could not pass it up. And a good piece of news here is that BlueMars.org, BlueMars.org, is back up and online. I love Blue Mars. Blue Mars is one of those websites. It's all ambient music, right? But it's not like ambient experimental. It's ambient music that doesn't suck. Every single genre of music has the ability to suck. Doesn't matter if it's emo, jazz, acid jazz, experimental. Doesn't matter. There's good experimental music. And then there's experimental music that sucks. And we want to avoid the sucking end of it. So the Blue Mars guys, they have like Cryo Sleep, Voices Within, things like this. They're very, very tribal, very, you know, kind of chill out, down tempo kind of stuff. Very, very different from the cyberpunk new age sort of bleeding edge stuff that we play on Rant. But we got to keep everybody together so we have alternative media. And I'm here to tell you, if you're in the chill out zone and you're sick of listening to Tales from the Afternoon, when you sleep, I would swing by the Blue Mars website, bluemars.org, and have a look at their cryosleep, all free, all broadcast, all the time. Very, very cool site. It's almost a daily hack, and they went down for a while there. I guess their routers took a crap or something, and I was really concerned that maybe they were gone, because they've been up for a long, long time. But all is well. Much meta joy amongst the universe. In fact, the website is still up. So hooray for BlueMars.org. Got some feedback here. Let's not mess around. Let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Mr. Kennedy. You know, it's always bad. You don't get in trouble when they say Mr. Dear Mr. Kennedy, your newsreel show is very high quality, and I was delighted when it started again recently. I just wanted to say that don't get hung up on asking for donations. As long as something is voluntary, it's not exploitation. Now that statement right there, you and I could have a 4.5-hour conversation about whether or not something is voluntary versus exploitation. When you go to an evangelical church and they bombard you with like images for hours and hours and hours and hours, and they pass a collection plate to you, that's not really voluntary. That's priming and it's programming. And it could be argued like, you know, the guy from Waymaster Radio, the whole Kirk Cameron psycho-evangelical crowd there, they got me on the air and he said, "You do exactly the same thing that we do," is what he said to me, you know. And I thought about that. You know, I thought, well, no, I don't think I do. I mean, there's definite similarities between what I do here. I mean, I'm not really promoting an agenda other than, you know, think for yourself, explore new mediums, this kind of a thing. I'm not trying to, you know, manipulate people into, you know, following to my own Pie Piper flute where, you know, we're trying to, you know, accomplish some agenda. This is not the case here. And if you try to do that, invariably there's going to be someone who's going to come along and try to destroy what you've built. And so you're much better to just encourage people to think and provide them with the service, which is like either news or a little bit of entertainment medium. And that's a good idea. But I see what you're getting at here. And I agree with what you're saying, that I would like to think I'm not exploiting people, but, you know, we could have a long conversation on that. Getting back to his letter here, Wikipedia runs on donations, as does ISO Hunt, much freeware / open source software and other internet services, and I think it's a far better approach than selling or advertising. Which there's something to be said, because I'm going to start selling the book. I saw the book. That's out now. I don't think it's available, but I've seen photographs of the prime copy, which my editor is going to get. So it does exist. The letter goes on. I listened to a little of that Alex Jones guy on the radio, but there are adverts every 5 minutes, and I grow tired of it very quickly. It's true, yeah, advertising does get in the way, and that's not a diss on Alex. He's trying to do his thing, and I'm trying to do my thing, and I think Alex has been way more successful in reaching people and his agenda. I mean, I am a fan of Alex Jones, let's just say that. I do think money is important, not only in its value, but because it helps motivate and shows people care. People donate because they can afford to and because they want to show their appreciation. Telling people that you do this at the end of your shows is the same as having a PayPal button on a website. The information is conveyed with an audio message for an audio stream rather than a visual button in a visual form. Which is, I mean, that's true, yeah. So you can stop losing sleep over it, really. Everyone thinks it's okay. I bet you haven't had a single piece of feedback suggesting you shouldn't accept donations. And thanks from Thomas in Dundee, Scotland. Well, if a Scottish guy is telling me it's okay to ask for money, then chances are it probably is. Not to go with the stereotype or anything, but thank you very much from Dundee, Scotland. And I guess we're getting a lot of fans from the UK. I'd like it if people include, it means something to me. So if you're going to send email, and especially with feedback that you think I might read out on the show, because anything's game, man. If it goes to the newsreel address, I might put it on the show. You don't know. So try to include a city or at least a country where you're coming from. Countries are good, or even counties or whatever you want to do. I mean, in England, it's pretty scary right now. I got some UK stories that'll rip your face right off. But we'll get into that. More feedback. Thank you very much, Thomas from Dundee, Scotland. And you probably have a point there. But you know, hey, I'm neurotic. That's why we do the show. Two, dear Sean. Listening to your show this week on podcast. Yes, podcasting. That's one thing we've got to do. We got to get the show easier to get. I hope the show's easy enough to get, because, you know, people type in newsreel in Google. We're the number one hit on Google. But we want to make sure that people are able to listen to the show. And there's nothing better than, you know, CDs. Unfortunately, one show per CD is a bit much, but it can be played on anything. And, you know, everybody's got their favorite show. You know, if you're going to hand out a show to someone, I mean, chances are you've got a favorite show. Everyone's got the favorite show, you know, of Newsreel, I would think, or one of them's a good show. And that'd be the show you'd want to hand out to people, you know what I mean? And say, hey, check this out, you know. So I don't know if there's like a, you know, a podcast way of doing that or whatever. I don't know. I just want to make sure that people are able to get at the media. And I thought I should, anyway, I was listening to your show this week on podcast, and I thought I should add a comment to your news story about South Carolina's legislator giving inmates some time off for donating body parts. For those of you who are not paying attention on the home game, a little while ago, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, South Carolina put in legislation that said that the convicts could get time knocked off their sentence if they started, you know, signing over organs so that, you know, they could save lives and stuff like this. You know, it's being lauded as this very positive thing. I don't like the precedent that sends, because they're doing stuff like that in China. Scares me a little bit. Chinese government freaks me out. So, you know, that's one of those things that makes me try to line up the front and rear sight on things like that. My questions are, how many of those inmates have non-curable diseases or things like TB, MRSA, and other nasty bugs that are resistant to penicillin or other antiviral bacteria? Well, I imagine quite a number, and I guess they'd be doing pretty stringent medical testing, or at least you would hope they'd be doing pretty stringent medical testing before they start, you know, handing out organs and body parts from people who are, you know, on death row, or maybe some psycho gets himself infected at the last minute before the operation so we could kill somebody else. I don't know. I'm a horror writer, so my brain starts working overtime. Honestly, should this be outlawed? Of course it should be outlawed. I don't agree with people selling their organs. You're not going to see me wanting to see this ever going on anywhere. Well, it's already happening, though. You got to bear that in mind. It's already happening in China, which doesn't make it any better. Just because they're doing it in China doesn't mean that we want to be doing it here. I mean, it's understandable that people would want to avoid that. It would, you know, it's just certain guidelines. Certain guidelines, sort of like a template, sort of dipstick test mechanisms that I use to tell whether or not something is a good or bad idea. Parameters, you could say. For example, if you have people watching other people behind tall wire fences with machine guns, that's bad. Those are camps, okay? Camps, I don't care why, are a bad idea. It's best to avoid camps as much as possible. So you avoid, like, the whole, you know, Auschwitz scene, you know? And I hope everybody, if you don't know what Auschwitz is, right now, anyone, and it's possible, you may be listening to the show going, Sean, what are you talking about? Everybody knows what Auschwitz is. No, they don't. You should do, here's a little homework for you. Walk around in your environment and you just ask people, have you heard of Auschwitz? And you know, that's a pretty, that's not a damning statement. They'd be like, and they might go clarify, is that a band? You know, I mean the German camp, Auschwitz. See how many people you know have never, ever heard of Auschwitz. Never heard of it. It's amazing. It's beyond amazing, actually. It's disturbing, the amount of people that have not heard of Auschwitz. So there's just a little bit of homework for you to play around with, something you can check on. Tell me how that works out for you. I'd be interested to know. Hey, Sean! I finally noticed the cover of my statistics textbook. Oh, sorry. Honestly, should this be outlawed? That was from Destined, the last one there about the body parts. That was from Destined. Anyway, third piece of feedback here. Hey, Sean! I finally noticed the cover of my statistics textbook that I've been carrying around for 8 weeks. The bright red cover was actually covered in pictures of Coca-Cola bottles. Now, he's been covering this around for 8 weeks, and he didn't notice the Coca-Cola bottles, which means that either A, this guy's thick, but I don't think he's thick because he's going to a statistics class, which doesn't indicate that there's lots of stupid people in school. However, it's also more indicative of the fact that Coca-Cola hides its subliminal advertising in textbooks. With reality filter finally in place, I took a look through the book. Very wise to do. There were over, and this is in a textbook. This is in a textbook for school, okay? There were over 40 pictures of Coke bottles scattered throughout the book. Over 20 in the first 30 pages. 12 on the cover. One pic of a building painted with the Coke logo. One picture of a poor, shoeless child standing next to 11 full crates of Coca-Cola, bringing happiness to the third world, no doubt. And a can of Sprite owned by Coke. No other brand appeared in the book. Three things occurred to me. Number one, I paid how much for this advertisement? Number two, I have found that quitting the soda pop has been harder for me than it was to quit smoking, which I did for 3 years. Sometimes I wonder why I'm possessed with craving for soda. Sometimes I don't wonder so much. Well, if you're addicted to soda and you're wondering why you're having a hard time quitting, I would look into the world of excitotoxins, which are additives they put into things to make them addictive. And, you know, if you don't think Coca-Cola is responsible or could be capable of doing something like that, this is the same company that used to put cocaine in their drink, okay? So just bear that in mind. Hence, Coke. Anyway, how many other textbooks, which we are paying $80 to $120 American for down here, are sporting such unabashed corporate advertising? So I guess this guy must be in college or university here with a class like statistics. I mean, it's been a while since I was in high school, so they might be offering that in high school these days. But, you know, if he's paying $80 to $120, I'm hoping that's a university text. It's no secret that big soda companies establish relationships with the universities here by vigorously policing which brands are allowed to be sold and on or near campus, which is true. Get them while they're young. That's what the Christians do. Most born-again Christians are created before the age of 10, and then they hold on for the rest of their life. So if you could use that same sort of technology and apply it with mind share for a beverage, well, hey, how long was I drinking Dr. Pepper for? Got to bear that in mind. In the early days of the show, the What the Hell show, Dr. Pepper was flowing freely. Hell, we rejoiced in the fact that everybody was drinking Dr. Pepper. But now, as we get older and just a bit wiser, we realize that yes, in fact, we were as stupid as we thought we were. The letter continues. It never occurred to me that I might go far, far deeper. The book is written by a professor at Purdue University. A simple web search for Purdue and Coca-Cola turns up multiple references to college athletics competitions like the Coca-Cola Open, and even a how-to page for using an online search engine hosted on the school's network uses a consumer survey search for Coca-Cola products as its example. It seems Purdue is infatuated with the brand. I guess they just wanted to share that with me for $100. Keep up the good work, man. My textbook has a date with a magic marker. And that was sent in by Skillet Audio. Well, you know, hey, it's your textbook. You paid money for it. So if you want to sanitize that sucker, then fair ball. Sanitize away. Always a good thing to do to make sure that you control what you have in the way of mind share. Now, I gotta sort yourself out this week. This week's sort yourself out is going to, I'm going to step on a lot of toes with this one. Which is why, you know, why it's a good idea to do this. You know, it's good to launch Sort Yourselves Out from time to time so you can explain things to people and everybody's on the same page. The search yourself out was really simple. Sent in from my web browser. It says, Dear Sean, when talking to police anywhere, why should you address them as sir or ma'am? Is it out of courtesy or hierarchy? And this was sent in by Moondog. Well, okay. I understand that police piss people off. I understand that. Cops piss people off all the time. It's the nature of being a cop. I mean, you got to look at it from the cop's perspective, okay? Here you have this guy who is handed a mandate from someone higher than him. The police is the frontline soldier of the core political state, okay? It is not this guy's fault. Now, it could be argued, you could say, well, he doesn't have to do this stuff. He doesn't have to work for the core political state. He could renounce it. He could walk away. He could throw his hands out. And I've known cops who've done this. I've known cops who've walked away. But what do? You need to work. You might have a family. You might have someone that you need to support. You got to feed these people, right? And you're going to look after you and yours before you look after somebody else. And it is honorable to be a cop. I mean, there are bad people out there that need to be stopped. Unfortunately, the laws and legislation in the country are such that police are prevented from actually doing their job. And when you put people in high-stress situations and they're prevented from actually doing their job, which is sorting shit out, okay, they have a tendency to get a little bit wrapped around the axles. They have a tendency to get very, very frustrated because of our legal system. Things get in the way. Now, of course, there's going to be a whole crowd of people will be like, yeah, like what gets in the way? Sean, people's civil rights, maybe? The right for me to do what I want? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, now we're not talking about this here. I'm just trying to take a step back here and explain why you call police sir or ma'am, okay? I think it's not totally bad to call anyone you meet sir or ma'am. You know, it's a measure of respect, and you afford people respect right off the top. Some people are of the opinion that you need to earn respect from me before I give it to you. Well, I mean, that's one approach. But wouldn't it just be easier if you just respected everybody? I mean, wouldn't it be a much more WOG thing to do, I would think, to just provide respect to people if you don't know who they are? And if this guy here is walking around with a gun and handcuffs and a taser and a shotgun and a dog that eats people, and he's out there to protect you, that's what, you know, it says to protect and serve, even though you may not like, you know, how he does it, even though you may not like that particular officer, there's a certain amount of hierarchy there because, you know what, that is what that job entails. This guy, in theory, is willing to die for you, and cops die for people every day. So, it's true, we only get the bad stories about police really get paraded in front of folks, and no one ever says good things about the cops, you know, and there's lots of bad stuff that happens all the time, and there are lots of bad cops. You know, I understand this. But not all cops are bad. It's a very, very, very low percentage of police are actually corrupt, and the ones who are corrupt are scum of the earth, okay? And nobody's against corrupt cops more than good cops. So, I mean, there's something to be said for that. That's why they have things like internal affairs and all the rest of it. Yes, I know police brutality is a reality. Yes, I know that some cops get overzealous in their job. Yes, I saw the footage from the that protest where the book wagon got beat down by a bunch of cops because the owners of the city said, no, you can't parade here. And the cops were handed the mandate to get rid of these people. And the cops didn't like that. No cop likes choking out a 65-year-old woman. It's not something they do for giggles. But that's what they were told to do. They're told to end this situation. Are you going to lose your job, or are you going to do what you're told? And that's what it comes down to. And some people would stand up on their soapbox in their dirty shirt and say, I would have just walked away. He should have. Well, you know what? It doesn't work like that in the really real world. In the really real world, he's going to lose his job. He's going to be homeless. He can't work anywhere else, and he's an ex-cop. So what the hell is he going to do? Wind up working in a bar? Wind up working security? Join the army? What's left? He might have a family. He might have dreams of having a family. Maybe he likes his life. So, unfortunately, these people are put in very, very nasty positions, and they are forced to react. So the reason why you call police sir or ma'am is out of respect. And it's like that Chris Rock thing, how to not get your ass kicked by the police. You know, if you haven't Googled that, Google that. It's funny. But it's true. You just treat these people with respect and dignity, and you'll find that you'll go a long way. Now, if they're kicking in your door because they think you've done something wrong, still treat them with respect and dignity because you're definitely not going to, you know, they're not going to go easy on you if you're a prick. You know, you might want to read some books on interrogation. you know, understand, because they're trained on interrogation. You should be trained on interrogation so you understand how interrogation works, how the interrogation game is played, so that you can, you know, as they sit you in the room and they yell at you and they deny you your lawyer and everything, you're like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to talk about a lawyer. Could I please have a glass of water? And then they'll dance around and blah, 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 blah. And you just repeat that. You know, you're like, I'm sorry, I don't feel comfortable talking without my lawyer. I'd like a glass of water. And, you know, you carry on like this. And these people are very good. And they're very frustrated. And then they're after a conviction because that's how they get paid. So I know it's hard not to take it personally when dealing with the police. But honestly, you know, I would not want to be a cop. I would not. The damage to the brain case that these guys put up with, the amount of stress that they're under in day-to-day life. I mean, I have not met a lot of really happy cops. I hate to say it. I'm sure there's some out there, you know, but I mean, you know, generally taking out the garbage every day has got to be a pretty difficult job. Everybody hates you. You know, most cops have a nervous breakdown in their career. So when you consider that, I mean, that's... I think that if someone's willing to lose their sanity for their job, I think if no other reason that... That would be... So, your question to me is out of courtesy or hierarchy? You know, hierarchy is... That's an interesting game of semantics. I'm going to say you do it out of respect. And if that implies a hierarchy, then so be it. But I you know, kind of have a Buddhist approach where I try to put everybody ahead of me. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, definitely the cops are your friends because you want to have them as your friends versus having them as your enemy. And like I said before, man, don't break the law. It really complicates things. Now in WOG News, we're going to start off with a very interesting story here, okay, which is kind of a positive story. I figure we'll start in with a positive note before I hit you with the heavy stuff. In WOG News, sent to me by Archangel, global drug giant GlaxoSmithKline faces a court case on Tuesday for misleading advertising after two 14-year-old girls found his popular blackcurrant drink, Ribena, contained almost no vitamin C. These are two 14-year-old girls now in a court case with GlaxoSmithKline, who is, you know, a global drug giant. High school students Anna Deva Thesan and Jenny Sewell tested the children's drink against advertising claims that the black currants in Ribena have four times the vitamin C of oranges. That was a claim that was made in 2004. Instead, the two found the syrup-based drink contained almost no trace of vitamin C, and one commercial orange juice brand contained almost four times more than Ribena. Well, what do you know? The commercials are lying. This kind of should be filed in the no-shit category, but it's nice that a couple of 14-year-olds caught this. We thought we were doing it wrong. We must have made a mistake, Devith Sense, now age 17, told the New Zealand newspaper after the school experiment. The GSK spokeswoman in New Zealand refused to comment ahead of the case on the grounds that it could affect legal process, meaning that, hi, we're in damage control. A GSK spokeswoman in Britain, which is the lead market for Ribena, said the company has been in discussion in the New Zealand Commerce Commission regarding vitamin C levels and the way these levels had been communicated in New Zealand. Oh! So, yeah, how they've been communicated. Maybe it wasn't communicated well. Maybe we lied, and now we got caught with it. GlaxoSmithKline, or GSK, has conducted a thorough laboratory testing of the vitamin C levels in Ribena and all other markets, the spokeswoman said. Oh, yeah, all other markets we tested. It's just the New Zealand stuff that doesn't have the vitamin C. The testing has confirmed that Ribena drinks in all other markets, including the UK, contain the stated levels of vitamin C as described on the product labels. And if they didn't before, they sure as shit do now. Ribena, first made in the 1930s and distributed to British children during World War II, GSK paid little attention to the claims of Devinson and Sua until their complaints reached the Commerce Commission. But it now faces 15 charges related to misleading advertising in an Auckland court, risking potential fines of up to $3 million New Zealand dollars, equal to $2.1 million in any other money, I guess. It is now sold. Ribena is now sold in 22 countries. So that's interesting. If you know, they didn't care that these kids found out there's no vitamin C. They didn't care about any of that until somebody stood up and said, "Whoa, wait a minute." There's no vitamin C in this, and we're going to sue you, because that's the language that corporations understand. Anybody who has never seen or read the book, The Corporation, is a film based by the same name, which you should see. All corporations are, in fact, sociopaths. They're psychopaths, not sociopaths. Big difference. So, you know, they're not actually going to do anything unless you get up in their face and start really freaking out. So, and the only way that they will tell that you're up in their face and freaking out is if they, you know, that you get them in the pocketbook, because that's where the blood is the pocketbook. In Big Brother news, thank you, Sumerian. This last story was sent to me by Archangel. Thank you very much. But the next story, Big Brother news, sent by my partner in crime, Sim. Here's talking at you, kid. New CCTV to come in. Now, this is all part of Big Brother and England. I've got some I got some scary stories coming out of England, and it's really freaking me out. And I feel bad for everyone in the UK right now. My prayers go out to you guys. It's you guys are in a bad way over there, and I'm not too sure what the answer is. Maybe V for Vendetta. I have no idea. But vandals, I love the opening line here. Vandals in Penhill will soon hear the voice of Big Brother if they're caught carrying out criminal activity. That's the opening line of this story. Swindon Council is planning to pilot a revolutionary closed-circuit TV scheme on the housing estate, which will allow control center operators to talk to anyone involved in, quote-unquote, antisocial behavior. State-of-the-art mobile wireless cameras with microphones will be positioned in troubled hotspots, enabling staff at the council's waterside CCTV station to bark out warnings if they see an offense being committed.
You there, stop what you are doing. We are dispensing the SWAT team now. Alert, alert, comply, comply.
It follows a successful two-month trial in Wellcome Avenue, Park North, where mobile cameras has halved residents' complaints about antisocial behavior. Antisocial behavior is now a crime. You're antisocial. Mark Walker, policy and regeneration manager at Swindon Council. What the hell is regeneration manager? What is that? If I'm a policy and regeneration manager, what, you regulate how quickly my fucking hit points come back? Said that the mobile unit has been so successful as a deterrent against crime, that three more have been ordered. Oh, hell yeah, we want more of these big bad boys. And if the pilot in Penhill proves equally as effective as the talking camera technology could spread across town. We have had this camera in Wellcome Avenue for the last couple of months, and we've gotten three more orders because it's been so successful, explained Mr. Walker. Our call center has seen a reduction in complaints from the Wellcome Avenue at least 50%. Well, yeah. A big selling point of this technology that it does not record locally. It is wireless, and so images go back to our control room at Waterside, which is monitored 24/7. A 0.1 second time delay ensures that the cameras transmit digital images in almost real time, and the new software will have the capability to broadcast pictures into police vehicles also in real time. The mobile units cost about $15,000 each. Man, somebody's getting cheese with their Whopper. And each are similar in design to the cameras used in the reality show Big Brother in that they can rotate 360 degrees. Attached to the top of streetlights, they provide a bird's eye view of 200 square meter area. It's really unfortunate that a $15,000 camera can be taken out with a pen laser. But anyway, which costs 99 cents at the dollar store. But I digress. Mr. Walker said, the camera can be attached in a matter of minutes, and we can move it just as easily. The aim of these cameras is to use them in troubled hotspots to give residents respite from antisocial behavior problems. Why don't you just arm your residents? You know, that'll give you respite, and it won't go. $15,000 worth of guns in England would go a long way. From the town center, we are covering a 7 to 10 kilometer area, so we're having a good borough-wide coverage. Let me read that again. From the town center, we are covering a 7 to 10 kilometer area, so we have a good borough-wide coverage. I guess they call housing complexes boroughs in England, which, like, you know, rabbits and foxes and rats have boroughs. I would live in a house. I don't really want to live in a rabbit warren. I don't want to live in a spider hole, even though my cameras tell me where we're at, and I might report antisocial. Who the hell report? What is antisocial? Is that like vandalism? Is that really that much of a problem? Because if it is, I don't think you're going to beat this by just, you know, regulating the snot out of it. As long as we have a 250-volt power source, we can use these cameras anywhere across town. One thing that we did late last year was relay all of our images to the control room back at Gable Cross Police Station, which gave the police an opportunity to access any evidence. but it is the council's aim to go one step further with the new surveillance equipment. We are working on voice-activated deterrence on the cameras, too. If the control sees anybody doing something wrong, they can warn the person via a microphone attached to the camera. Well, I think they mean a speaker, but anyway. We are going to pilot that Penhill in a couple of months. So you got voices on the cameras. The cameras begin talking to you. Now, you would think, you know, from a completely tactical perspective, from a security perspective, that's a really good idea, right? I mean, you know, you can't plant bombs. If we were watching you on camera, we'd see where the bomb is, right? It's a good idea. Makes sense to me, you know. But the problem here is that as more and more cameras go up, you need more and more people to watch them, right? So you have people watching cameras. So even if, let's say, one person can effectively, I don't know what the actual number is, but let's say one person can effectively monitor 12 cameras. Well, the amount of cameras you got running around England, that turns out to be a problem, right? Well, not to worry. Technology to the rescue. If you do not master technology, technology will master you. In cameras, watching cameras news. Thank you to Y&D. In London, England, where else in the world would bring you, you know, the... You know, remember. Ever felt like, was it, remember, that's pretty bad, that I can't remember what the actual date is from V for Vendetta. What is remember the 5th of December? I think it's 5th of December. It could be November. 5th of November? November, December? I should be able to watch that movie again. So should you. Watch that movie again. V for Vendetta. Good movie. Anyway, back to London, England. Ever felt like you're being watched? With the rise in the number of surveillance cameras on our streets and our offices, more often or not than you are. But rather than just not just watching you, the next generation of surveillance cameras will be able to tell you if you're up to no good. Developers hope spot crimes and misdemeanors before they happen. Before they happen on a camera. Normally, it's down to the judgment of the security guard watching the bank of monitors to decide if something looks suspicious on their screens, right? Because the guy's watching. Not so. However, with an average of over 100 monitors for each security guard to keep an eye on, it's practically an impossible task. There is also the loss in attention that naturally occurs when people are sitting watching screens nonstop. Industry experts had suggested that after 12 minutes of continuous video monitoring, an operator will miss up to 45% of screen activity. That rises up to 95% after 22 minutes. So cameras really don't do crap. Trying to solve the problem with too many monitors and not enough pairs of eyes is Dr. Sergio Valliston of Kingston University in the UK. Humans will always be better at machines and spotting behavior, but most security guards have almost impossible tasks to watch so many screens all the time they can't be used practically. That's what they told CNN. Valliston has been developing a software with Ipsotech, a UK-based company pioneering the new visual imaging devices. Most people do things fairly straightforward way. This is a quote now. Most people do things in a fairly straightforward way, and we're able to gain statistical knowledge of what they do. From that, it follows you can raise an alarm if something is deemed infrequent, which usually means abnormal or suspicious. Interesting how they put infrequent, abnormal, and suspicious as, like, you know, synonyms. It also sounds simple enough, but the task of creating a computer program that can filter out all the normal background goings-on of a situation, be it on a train station or a high street, has proved to be extremely complex. Rather than going down the route of face recognition technology, the program tries to keep it simple by comparing any number of the situations and actions that it would be captured by the camera with an empty background. Using an algorithm to tell the normal from the abnormal, so this equation, the software is able to alert a security guard if it deems something to be out of the ordinary. A person standing close to the edge of a train platform might not necessarily be an immediate suicide risk. But the program is able to track that person and evaluate the amount of time they've been there and so constantly monitor the situation. So what you have there is one of those little situations where you have computers watching people, okay? Where you have robots watching people, okay? Does anybody else here have a problem with this? Where you've got computers actually saying, you are committing a crime. I'm standing here. Your behavior is suspicious. So if I walk down the street, it's a sidewalk, and there's no reason to stop on the sidewalk, and I stop on the sidewalk, you mean to tell me that the camera, you know, the voice is going to come over the regular camera saying, you there, keep moving, this is not a stopping zone, you are in a transitway, you are creating a barrier, you are breaking the law, holy shit, you know, did you take your prosium today? Like, Jesus Christ, dude, you got cameras watching cameras evaluating, you got robots and software evaluating my day-to-day activities? Now, not to be all Luddite here, but that seems a bit much to me. You know, I don't know. I think that that's a little bit extreme. I don't enjoy that. I don't think it's a really fantastic idea. I don't think it's something that we should generally do as people. I don't think it's a really positive idea. I couldn't really tell you why. Sort of like the death camp thing, you know? Putting people in camps, not a great idea. You know, I don't know. I'd like to leave friend or foe recognition up to people rather than machines. Maybe I'm way off base with that. I don't know. It's possible. It's possible. But, you know, this is just a classic example of how the UK is really going to hell in a handcart. Now, got another piece of media news for you here. Now, unregulated media is pornography. Everybody knows this, right? I mean, that's what I said. And after now, unregulated media is pornography. That's the angle they're playing, right? The internet is evil. Everyone knows that. I mean, that's where all the child porn is, right? There's never child porn before the internet showed up. And, you know, unregulated media, that's why you don't run a Wi-Fi. Because if you're on Wi-Fi, unregulated, and people can use your Wi-Fi for free, then all the child predators are able to use your Wi-Fi to download child porn, because there's millions of them, you know, they're everywhere. That's what they'll have you believe. But Archangel sent me in this other story here. And this is internet vilification at its best right here. 90% of this article is true. 90%, easy. But it's how they presented it. And this is like, man, somebody's got a master's degree in spin for this story. This is fantastic. So I wanted to cover this story. Bullies are no longer content to taunt their victims in the playground, but are turning to cyberspace, according to Canadian researchers. This is fantastic. Bullies are attacking you in cyberspace. They're using email, text messaging, and social networking sites in new forms of victimization. Cyberbullies are even forcing their girlfriends to undress in front of webcams and sharing the images with others online. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement right there. Cyberbullies are forcing their girlfriends. Okay. I wonder how much of this is, you know, legit here. This is where we're getting to that 10% where there might be some bullshit running around here. I mean, I'm sure that happens. But check out the presentation. They're pressuring each other. This is particularly true for girls to send pictures of themselves with their tops off, said Professor Faye Mishna of the University of Toronto, who's been researching the cyber abuse of children. Now, if you even critique this story, I mean, clearly you're a monster. Girls might send it to their boyfriend, and she is pressured into thinking he's just going to see it. She's pressured into to do it thinking he's just going to see it. So send me a picture of yourself topless. She gives in, and the next thing you know is it's all over the place. I would then, you know, I would say that the guy asks the girl to take the picture. The girl takes the picture of herself. How is she being bullied? Is she being physically coerced? Or are we supposed to believe that girls are stupid somehow and, you know, men are just able to manipulate them very, very easily? Which, as, you know, as desirable as that might be from a guy who's married 8 years, I don't think that that's really the case. It seems to me that girls are pretty smart, but I digress. The images are even more likely to pass if the couple breaks up, which, I mean, yeah, so nothing new there, said Mishna, who had a research team that helped focus on a group with 47 students in grades 5 to 12. Oh, so you're basing all this on less than 50 people in the grades 5 to 12. So, you know, I could have told you that without taking a big research grant, but that's okay. Preliminary results. These aren't concrete. No, we have to narrow this down on our 50-person sample. Preliminary research results from the research, so-called computer geeks, are becoming the new schoolyard bullies. Period. Full stop. Let me read that sentence again. Preliminary results from the research show so-called computer geeks are becoming the new schoolyard bullies. Really? Really? We're the new bullies, are we? The computer geek. Wow. You know, this is just a prime example of how people wind up being university professors. See, you start in school, and then you go to high school, and then, you know, you go to university, and you stay in university, and then eventually you've been in university so freaking long that you stay in university as a professor, and you've never actually spent any time in the real world. The computer geeks are becoming the new schoolyard bullies. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Building 7 fell because of vibrations in the ground. Final results of the study, which could be completed in June, because it takes a while to do that many, you know, comprehensive 47-student study, are expected to be published in autumn. Jesus, why? What? You got 47 students you're doing a study on here. Come on, what kind of a data? Well, what are you doing? Traditional bullying is a powerful differential, Mishna said. Traditional bullying. What is traditional bullying? Is that where they dress up in Scottish kilts and they push each other around? The power before could have been age, size, smartness, popularity, ability. Now it's perceived anonymous nature. We find out how anonymous it really is. The power now is you can put it all over the place. The focus groups also revealed victims refused to tell an adult about the abuse because they fear they would be punished in order to be protected. They will be punished in order to be protected. Interesting. I wonder if that's wonderful priming for, you know, the Western world's culture. We will punish you to protect you. They're scared that their parents will take away their computer privileges, just like we're scared that our government will take away our computer privileges. So perhaps that fear is not totally unfounded. Students, it is also thought, it was pointless to tell parents about cyberbullies because they could not identify the culprits. Which, again, this is also true. If you don't know who you're ratting out, who are you going to rat on? Friends are giving their passwords out to somebody who they think is a good friend, so they're making mistakes. Then they use it to bully somebody else. So this is why you teach your children about the importance of data retention. Traditional bullying is still continuing on school grounds, but technology has enabled the abuse to continue at home. This hasn't replaced it, unfortunately. Well, if it's really a bad idea, stop using the computer. Thanks for calling. Okay? It's not like they're attacking these kids through the router. Okay? Like, give me a break, would ya? Schoolyard bullies have, you know, it's come full circle. Finally, we, the computer geeks, have taken over the schoolyard. Yes, we're making you show up to your school classes with extra CDs for us. How insane is that? That just shows how incredibly disconnected people are from what goes on in high school. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. But, you know, hey, that's why I do the show, is so that I can pass on to you all this fantastic news. And mad scientist news. This is sent to me by Deprimi. Now, for those of you who have not read, I'm going to say, Crichton's book Next. Am I wrong? Is it Next? I think it's Michael Crichton wrote it. Book is called Next. Oh, man, I'm so bad. It talks about genetic engineering, okay, and, you know, the use of the genome mapping and things of this nature. Good book. You should read it. But in Mad Scientist News, sent to me by Debrimi, scientists have created a sheep that's 15% human. And this is, like, bizarre. Scientists have created the world's first human sheep chimera, which, yes, they're called Scientologists. No, I'm kidding. That was a low blow. They're actually called Mormons. No! Ah! No, I didn't say that. Christians. Ah! No! Wait. No. The first human sheep chimera, which has the body of a sheep and half human organs. Organs. You know how they say organs. The sheep have 15% human cells and 85% animal cells. And their evolution brings the prospect of an animal organs being transplanted into humans one step closer. That's great. Professor Imasil Zanjani from the University of Nevada has spent 7 years and $5 million, $10 million, perfecting the technique, which involves injecting adult human cells into a sheep's fetus. Let me ask you something. What happens if we inject, say, 15% human cells into, say, oh, I don't know, like baboons or a gorilla or maybe a dog? Since their organs are 15% human, wouldn't that make them more intelligent? Wouldn't that make a race of slaves? Wouldn't that make you have the ultimate bioweapon if you had intelligent animals that automatically heal on their own, that are self-replicating? Wouldn't that just be the most amazing resource for a variety of evil ever? But of course, this is all like page 7 news. That's, you know, just a tiny little story. That's it. That's all I got on the web of this. I got 3 lines. Scientists have created world-first human sheep chimera, the body of a sheep, and half human organs. The sheep have 50% human cells, 85% animal cells, and their evolution brings the prospect of animal organs being translated into humans one step closer. The professor's name, how much money they spent developing it. That's it. That's all we got. So sorry I haven't been able to give you more than that, but this is a absolutely terrifying use of science, which, I mean, wow. I don't know who's regulating this. I don't know who's looking after this, but you want to watch that, because it's not the nukes that I'm worried about. It's the guys running around with test tubes that freak me out. Once again, back to the UK. Now, I wanted to mix it up a bit so that, you know, the United Kingdom doesn't think I'm picking on them. But there's just so much to do, you know, in England and the UK. This was sent in by Druid Y. Simaru. Okay, and I'm here to tell you, in Mindcrime News, this particular story is an absolute nightmare for me. I am terrified of this story. In Mindcrime News, checks will be made on all children. Children. Checks. You know, I'm not even through the first sentence. The first sentence is, checks will be made on all children to identify potential criminals under a further extension of the surveillance state, quote unquote, announced by Tony Blair today. Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of England. Okay. A Downing Street review of law and order policy also called for greater use of sophisticated CCTV and expanded DNA database and instant justice powers for police. Quote unquote, instant justice powers for police. Sounding very Judge Dredd. The review is intended to chart a course ahead for the next 10 years by focusing more on the offender and not the offense. Interesting. Most crime is committed by a small number of prolific offenders who could be identified almost from birth. Danger, 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 ministers believe. After 10 years of concentrating on tougher sentences, the review paper said it wanted to tackle the underlying causes through better targeting. The division of pre-crime. Vulnerable children and those at risk will be identified by trigger factors such as parents in jail or on drugs. Okay, so see where this is going? They will be subject to personalized measures, including home visits from specialist practitioners, but the government says the net should be cast as widely as possible to prevent criminality developing. So, it proposes to establish universal checks through a child's development to help a service providers identify those most at risk of offending. So if you wear black, listen to the wrong kind of music, maybe check out Newsreel, you could be deemed as a security risk, and therefore, you know, as a child, you're listed as a pre-criminal. The document added these checks should piggyback on existing contact points, such as the transition to secondary schools. The plan will be backed up by a new database for all children due to be up and running by 2008. All children in the database, please. It will continue basic information, identifying the child, its parents, your family, and will have a facility for practitioners to indicate to others that they have the information to share or take action or have undertaken an assessment in relation to a child. Farming people. The database was ostensibly proposed to prevent another tragic death, such as that of Victoria Climby, but now appears to be the basis for cradle-to-adult monitoring. Cradle-to-adult. Which, I don't know why they said cradle-to-adult, because it would assume then that it would stop when you're an adult, but it's not. So it's actually cradle-to-grave monitoring. And it is not clear whether data will be erased from the database. Well, if it's not clear, let me tell you what the answer is. The answer is no, it will not be. Why would you spend billions of dollars and massive resources making this massive megastructure and then claim that you might erase the data? That's happy horse shit. The government believes children can be prevented from becoming offenders if early intervention is targeted at those who display certain behaviors. These include these behaviors that make you a pre-criminal include having a short attention span or behaving aggressively or living in a difficult or depraved environment. Like England. Short attention span? Can you show me a kid without a short attention span, please? One that doesn't have Asperger's syndrome or some other syndrome that you're trying to medicate? And behaving aggressively. Well, that's pretty vague. That's pretty vague. If I play Soldier of Fortune, is that not aggressive behavior? How about rugby? Rugby and sports class is pretty aggressive behavior, thank you very much. Some children who show signs of becoming criminals are logged and monitored by dozens of early intervention schemes. Those aged 8 to 13 may be referred to Youth Inclusion and Support Panel if they are thought to be potential offenders. Potential offenders. And data about them is held on an information system. So the minute that they fuck up, bam, we can drop the hammer on them. Mr. Blair, other agencies target 50 children and young people thought most at risk of offending truancy or social exclusion. I love these words. Mr. Blair said the main aim of the policy was to tackle the hardcore of 100,000 criminals who, he said, commit about half of all the crimes in England and Wales. 100,000 people for all of England and Wales committing half of all the crimes. Wow. You know, there's a lot of people living in England and Wales. So that's a very small percentage. How'd you come up with 100,000 criminals committing half of all the crime in England and Wales? I'd like to look at your math on that. Sounds a little Lamway. Career criminals will be subject to prolific offender... Career criminals will be subject to prolific offender license, punishable by 3 years of jail if broken, which would impose a range of restriction on activities. They are not an alternative to prison. They are an addition to prison, said Mr. Blair when he launched a review of the conference in Westminster. But we have to ensure that when people leave prison, they are not rebound to straight back in. He added, these people have serious problems of targeting the offender means we taking those problems seriously. If we want a criminal justice system that works, this is a quote now, if we want criminal justice system that works, we have to target the offender and not simply the offense. Right. Which sounds like wonderful buzz speak, but I'm not too sure I agree with this here. Other measures include tougher community sentences, slavery, and special units for mentally ill prisoners. Because, you know, once you're deemed mentally ill, you're fucked. Mentally ill prisoners are crazy! Right, so, you know, where drug treatments would be available. Great. So, you know, pharma slavery. Nice. The Home Office also announced a review of policing to be carried out by Sir Ronan Fennigan, a chief inspector of constabulary. He will try to find ways to cut red tape, to make the police more accessible to the public, and give forces greater say over their budgets. Wow. Really happy I'm not living in England right now. You know, really happy I'm not living in England right now. In criminal nation news from Deprimi. this is exactly what this is. When you're sitting there and putting together DNA databases, when you're putting together massive resources to try to discover which of your, we're getting into like eugenics crime here. Very, very frightening. And last but not least, in drug war news, 15 British soldiers a week are being thrown out of the army for taking drugs, including heroin, ecstasy, cannabis, and cocaine, figures obtained by The Observer reveal. Almost 800 troops were discharged last year after failing random drug tests, but with British forces already stretched in Iraq and Afghanistan, some experts have cast a doubt on the long-term viability of the Ministry of Defense's zero-tolerance approach to drugs and its compulsory policy. Professor David Nutt, a psychopharmacologist at the Bristol University and a member of the government's advisory council on the misuse of drugs, told The Observer that he thought the policy was illogical and misguided. Much of the drug use within the armed forces was situational and recreational, a reflection of the trend of society at large. Now, it goes on to talk about how, you know, blah, 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 there's a lot of people, a lot of soldiers doing drugs. Well, you know, in Israel, just as a side note, Israel is giving their troops weed. They are giving out weed to their troops to handle PTSD. That's what they're doing. Pretty inexpensive. I imagine the Israeli troops are pretty happy about that. There's a marijuana party in Israel who's trying to get some ground over there. They're not making out too well, but, you know, that's what they're doing. So, you know, I guess the war on drugs is going to take a whole new angle if they start allowing soldiers to, you know, if it doesn't actually exclude you. What an interesting, interesting world that is. And as well, you know, it's only because it's illegal, because it'd be an interesting number to find out how many soldiers in North America and England are on antidepressants. That would be an interesting statistic, to be sure. Today's Daily Hack is thanks to New Day Dawning, and it's how to make a solar generator for less than $300. Using parts easily available from your local stores, you can make a small solar power generator for $250 to $300. Great for power failures and life outside the power grid. Power your computer, modem, VCR, TV cameras, lights, or DC appliances anywhere you go. Use it in cannons, tents, archaeological digs, or while traveling throughout the third world. Have one in the office, storeroom in case of power failure in your high rise. I keep mine in the bedroom where it powers my CD table, turntable, lights, modem, laptop, and a back massager. I run a line out of the window to an 8x24 panel on the roof. Very interesting information to get you off the grid. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this program, you can distribute by handing it out to people. People who travel a lot, people who spend a lot of time in their cars, people who need to be kept awake, otherwise they kill, you know, carloads of tourists. Good idea to start handing them copies of Newsreel. But if you can donate, please do so by going to Rant Media. Click on the Donate tab on the top right hot link, or send a cleverly disguised envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12156 56 Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. Digital baptism today. The E-Ninja is now the I-Pirate, which I know that's kind of a weak transition, but I liked it. I like the idea of I-Pirate. That's little I, capital P, Irate. And if you don't like it, you can get a new digital baptism at the local yard sale. I wanted to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys and their assistance in gathering data. And if you have any information you would like to send me, you can reach me at Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-E-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, you should check out this East Indian music I found. This is a funny story. I got this music. I came back from a run one morning, and there was a couple of guys next door roofing the top of their house, and they had this like boom truck set up. And in the neighborhood where I live, it's kind of like horse territory, very, very quiet. And these guys had this music blaring like at just ridiculous volume, like retarded volume in the middle of the afternoon. And it was so loud, in fact, that I was a little bit concerned. I'm like, wow, someone might, you know, get angry and this could cause a problem. They just moved into the neighborhood. So I went over there, and they were big guys. And I guess they must have had some problems before with folks, because they were looking like they were kind of concerned, you know, when they came down. What can we help you with? So I told them, I said, hey, you know that music you guys were playing? That first song you played had a really cool bass line. Could you tell me what music that is? And they gave me the CD. They took it out of their truck. Everything was quiet. And I went, oh, okay. And I took the CD back, ripped the CD, brought the CD back to them, told them all about Newsreel, and they were all happy, and everybody's friends now. So it's wonderful. And that's how you use the WOG approach to make sure that you can interact with your neighbors and you can get rid of all the stress that exists in the world. And that's exactly what we have to do online as well as in our real world. We'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. We got to look for reasons why we're on the same side and not the reasons that we're apart, okay, that everyone's different. If you don't like different cultures' music, that's okay. You don't have to like different cultures. There's lots of cultures I don't like with, but you got to remember there's only one race. That's the human race, and we're going to have to get together and get online if we ever expect to get anywhere in this life. So until next time, that's what server said. End of line. ਆਉਂਦੇ ਆ ਉਹ ਜੱਟ ਡਰਾਈਵਰ ਤੋਂ